2 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't always preach a message during the Lord's table. Sometimes we just read the Bible together. Sometimes we have a message about the death of the Lord. The Lord doesn't tell us all to do while we observe it, but we do need to observe it together. But there's a verse that I want to read you here in 2 Corinthians 9, which is really the next verse on our list. Verse 6, that I think is be very important here, even tonight with this observance, and really about your whole life. And I want you to think about it with me, please. Before I read verse 6, let's go up and read verse 5 together with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. The Bible says, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." I want to ask you this question. It's not just about giving. It's from verse number 6. How much are you really putting into this? How much are you really putting into this? Of course, the context of this verse is he's speaking of their giving, their monetary giving for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the brethren. And he talks about in verse number 5, he mentions a word twice in verse number 5. If you'd look at it again. "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty." Your bounty. What do you think about when you think about a bounty? You know, if you watched old-timey Western movies when you were a kid, you know what you think about when you think of bounty. Somebody puts a big price of money on somebody else's head because maybe they've broken the law or something. It's a bounty, a bountiful lot of giving here. He says, "Make up beforehand your bounty," verse 5, "whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty." There it is again. "And not as of covetousness." I don't know how big, I don't know the denominations that they used here and how much money it was. I'm sure he didn't have a check. They didn't have digital money. I don't know if he had bags and bags of money. He could have had that, you know, because he sent those three men down there to get it. But nevertheless, if you'd looked that day for a year, this church, which is a wealthy church, and of course the poor churches had been covering most of the funds and most of the giving, but now this wealthy church, the church at Corinth, is involved, and I don't know how many bags of money there. And I can just imagine, he said, "Wow, look at all that bounty." He says, "Now when you look at that bounty, that's not covetousness." He says, "I'm not covetous. The people that are getting it aren't covetous. This is all for God. This is a bounty for God." You know, somebody in the church could look at all that money and say, "Man, I wish that was all my money." Somebody could do that, you know, with faith, promise, giving. "Wow, look at all that money that was given. I wish somebody would give that to me." But, you know, I would say this about being bountiful. That word's used over and over in this chapter. He mentions it again in verse 6 at the end of the verse. Would you look at it? "He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Look at verse number 11 in the same chapter in 2 Corinthians 9:11. "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth us through us thanksgiving to God." God had given them a lot, and they were giving a lot, and that was not a covetous thing. Look at chapter 8 in verse 20. And Paul had to address this, because as soon as somebody saw that money, they would think something maybe was out of line or something was not appropriate. And nothing could have been farther from the truth. But he said in 2 Corinthians 8:20, "Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us." In other words, he said, nobody should be blamed. We shouldn't be blamed. You shouldn't be blamed. The people getting it should be blamed over this abundance, this bountifulness, this bounty. Because really what's happened is God has blessed the church of Corinth. You know, never be ashamed of your blessings. You know, we live in a culture in a day where it's a shameful thing to be enriched. You understand that? And nobody deserves any blame for being rich. If you're rich, praise God. Glory to God. If you've got a lot of money, hallelujah, you got more to give. You got more to be responsible for. We live in a culture where people think it's wrong to have bountifulness. They blame somebody for you know, spending money or, you know, the church. You know what we do? We spend, man, our missions conference, we spend tens of thousands of dollars. We do. But you know who we spend it on? We spend it on people. We don't spend it on frivolity. We spend it on getting the gospel around the world. We spend it on, I mean, these missionaries, when they pull out, man, some of them pull out with $2,000. That's pretty good for about 4 or 5 days, isn't it? And they ought not feel bad about it. Oh, I got all this money. You know, I remember when I was a young preacher, somebody would give me a big offer and I'd feel bad about it. You know, and if God's blessed, you shouldn't feel bad about it. And this culture in America where we've been blessed so much by God and we feel shame. No, God says he's given us richly all things to enjoy. If you've got a lot, just enjoy it. Just don't forget to be a blessing to someone else. And he said, don't forget to communicate with others, to give to others out of that bounty. Some people have a really, really bad attitude toward rich people. Man, I hope we can win a whole bunch of them and bring them in here. Amen. And that is not a matter of covetousness. That's a matter of I want more people involved in getting the gospel to the world. I want the work of God to increase and go forward. The devil's had a lot of people's money for long enough. Amen. God ought to put it to you. So we ought not be ashamed for the bounty that we have. Not feel guilty. I tell you what, you ought to be more spiritual than to even approach the missions conference to where you see all the poor people and you just feel guilty about it. You know, that's not the best way to look at that. The best way to look at it is, and by the way, I set the theme for our conference. Everything's topsy-turvy, but it's going to be under the King. You know what our giving this year is going to? It's just going to be for the King. It's going to be for His glory. It's going to be for His pleasure. It's going to be for His promotion. I don't even know if all the money we'll give, amen, this year will even make it to the mission field. And you don't either. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to give it unto the King. He can do whatever He wants to do with it because He's worthy of it. And our hearts ought to be open to give to the King and what a bounty He deserves. But when you look at that and you say, man, what am I going to give? It's not a matter of guilt or shame. It's a matter of, Lord, I love you so much and you're my King. What part of what I have could you use? Do you need? Do I need to put in your work this year? That's what it is. It's not a shameful thing. It's not looking up there and seeing people that don't have what I have and I'm just moved about it. Now, it's better you're moved about that than not moved about nothing. Not moved about anything, excuse my grammar. Some people don't get moved about anything. And they need to go live in Sierra Leone. Right. But he says this bounty that we are giving, this bountifulness that we have, it's not a matter of covetousness. It's not a matter of blame. It's that God's blessed us so much that he's given us so much we want to put something into this. Now look at your verse. This is the verse that I want you to look at. Verse 6. You've heard it all your life probably if you've been in church. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know that. How many of you raise garden? Do you raise a garden? Hold your hand if you raise a garden. All right, good. It's good to sweat. Amen, the garden. Do you know if you just put a little seed in the ground, how much you're going to get back? Just not much. Now, how ignorant would you be by going out to the garden and you put about 4 or 5 seeds out there and then you went to harvest time and you expected the whole garden to be full? Who would expect that? Some dumbo would go out there and say, why don't I have a big crop? Well, you didn't put it in the ground. You've got to sow in the ground to get back. And whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out of it. I've told you the story over in Romania. I don't know why I did that. It was hectares. It was like it wasn't in acres because they didn't do acres over there. It was so much land. I sowed so much seed, and then all of it come up. What am I going to do with all this? We were trying to help people. I said, it was more work. I mean, I had more corn and more potatoes and more. I had more stuff, and I could throw it out to the community. I begged people to come get it. You know why? You put a lot in the ground. You know what's going to come back out? A whole lot's going to come back out. Now, in this case, he's talking about their giving. Do you know you get out of it what you put into it? You know, whatever you give to God, you know, you can't, look, don't expect to get out a lot back from God if you're not putting into God. Why would we wouldn't expect that. We wouldn't expect God to supply all our need. That's written to people that gave, by the way, in the book of Philippians. We shouldn't expect God to get all our wants. And if we're not giving to Him. And by the way, I want to testify and say that you cannot outgive the Lord. If you sow and give, the Corinthian church is going to be taken care of. The poor saints of Macedonia that were given would be taken care of, because when you put it in, you get it back. God's not unrighteous. He knows the law of the harvest. That's what he's saying here. You sow bountifully. He's in context talking about their money. You sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. I've told people about their tithing and their missions and whatnot. I said, look, just obey the Lord. Try it a year. If it don't work out, come back. I'll give you money back. You know, I've never had anybody come to me. I've never had one person come to me. Because you know what? If you give to God, that harvest, as you give to God, is going to come back to you. He which soweth sparingly. You know, if you're holding out on God, if you're being cheap with God. I can tell you a story about saints that I've pastored before that I pastor right here, right now, that really didn't have it to give, but they gave. You don't even know in a church. And how they gave and God gave back to them. It works every time. And then I can tell you stories about people that were so cheap and tight with God, and they wonder why God's tight and cheap with them. I'm telling you, you get out what you put into it. So how much are you putting into it? You know, this context is about money. I'm not going to just preach on money. You know, that's true about everything in life. It's true about your job, about your work. You know, if you work just a little, you know what you're going to get out of it? You're not going to get very much. If you just hit a lick out of it every now and then, you don't put a lot into it, you don't get anything out of it. Whether it's construction, whether it's whatever your job is. That's true about how many of you young people are in school. Would you raise your hand? You know what you're going to get out of school? You're going to get out of school what you put into school. Right. That's why most people don't get anything out of school. Bobby. Thank you, Levi. That's why most people don't get anything out of school. They don't put anything in. Man, some people, I think they ought to just raise their hand and write it on the chalkboard, when I grow up, I want to be dumb. Because they're not putting any time. They're not putting any effort into it. Is that not right? You can have the best teacher in the world, the best books in the world, but if you don't put anything into it, you don't get anything out of it. You know, it's not just true about that. It's true about what you invest in. You know, I look back. I sold all that stuff. I got nervous in the stock market. I sold all that stuff and made money so I'd give to missions. Amen. But I looked back and I said, why didn't I put everything I had in that? Because you know what I got out of it? I got out of it what I put into it. If you just put a little into it, you just get a little back. That's true about any investment you make. If you put a little bit into your retirement, you know what you're going to get back in your retirement? You're going to get a little bit back. If you put a whole lot, it goes the same way. That's a principle of life. Let me ask you a question. Watch this now. I'm going to change gears on you. Preacher, I'm not getting much out of my marriage. How much are you putting into it? Shouldn't we stop and ask ourselves that? How much investment am I putting into this lady that I love? How much investment am I putting into this man that I love? Maybe I'm getting a little bit out because I'm not putting very much in. Is that a fair question? Maybe I can sow bountifully and reap bountifully. Maybe I can put more into my home life and get more out of my home life. I'm amazed. You know, it's such a hard struggle in this generation to have a family that'll come out right. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't put everything you got into it, if you don't put bountifully into it, there ain't no way you're going to get anything out of it. Because he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You know that's true about church. Do you know who doesn't get a lot out of church? People that come sparingly. They just get a little bit out. Well, you know, church has never done a whole lot for me. That's because you never done a whole lot for the church. Well, I just don't get a whole lot out of church. That's because you never put any in. If you'll put some in, you'll get something out. Well, I don't know. I wish the music was better. Well, put more in the music. I wish the spirit was better, but put some more spirit in it. I wish it was such more blessing. Well, put some more faithfulness in it. I'm saying you get out of church what you put into church. And a lot of people don't put very much in it. And they wonder why they don't get anything out of it. That can be true about your relationships. Now, I'm going to tell you this tonight, and I'm finished. It's true about God. You know how little we put in this in our Christian life sometimes? How much are we really putting into our Christianity? How much prayer are we putting into my daily walk with God? And I wonder why God seems so distant and I seem so aloof in my relationship with God. What are you putting into it? He that sows sparingly reaps sparingly. How much are you praising Him? How much is your gratitude? How much gratitude am I giving Him? How much commitment am I giving to my God? Guys, we can't expect to get anything out of our Christianity if we're not putting anything into it. If our devotion, we need to raise the level of our devotion and raise the level of our love to get that same back out of it. And some people just don't put very much into their Christian life and they say, there's not much to this. Oh, no, there's just not much to you. You know what you'll get out of your walk with God? As much as you'll put into it. You can be as close to God as you want. You can get as much bounty from God in your soul as you want. But you'll never get that, and I'll never get that if I'm not putting something into it. Gone are the days when somebody think they can just sit in the church house and they can just get it by osmosis. It doesn't happen. By the way, that's a lot of times why people come up in church and they leave, because they never put anything in. They came here, but they didn't put their heart into it, you see. And I'm asking you tonight, how much are you really putting into this? How much repentance are you putting into it? How much will you put into tonight? You know, we've had communion services before. Man, I've just seen people bawling like a baby, and the love of God and the warmth of God and the remembrance of God squeeze their heart. And you know what happens? Why that happens sometimes? It's not something spooky. It's because they put something into it. They took some time to put some examination into it and some repentance into it and some searching of their heart. And they just took the time to say, yes, Lord, see if there be some wicked way. Wicked ways is not just smoking and drinking and cussing. Wicked ways, it's pride. It's prayerlessness. It's lack of me being committed to this book. It's lack of love for others. It's a whole, all sorts of things. It's a hymnal that we sing there. We put it on our recording, No, Not Despairingly. And it's just a prayer of repentance. And the guy says, sin of not loving thee, and sin of not trusting thee. I wonder how much you'll put into it tonight to say, Lord, I want to look way down. It's an examination. An examination is not just a, okay, everything's right. No, examination is answer the question. An examination is looking in. If you go to the doctor's office and he examines you, oh, you wouldn't want to pay a doctor if you just walked in for a physical examination. And he looked over and said, okay, have a nice day. It'll be $100. No, you want him to check your heart. You want him to check your lungs. You want him to check all the places that have been bothering you, right? When I went to the doctor and he burned all that pre-cancerous stuff off my face, you know, I would have been real upset if he'd walked in there and said, all right, let's shoot him here. No, he got that thing out and he looked all around my face to see where, let me see if there's something that's abnormal. Self, right there. An examination. You know what Jesus says? Examine yourself. Examine you. You can't examine your neighbor. It don't matter about anybody. It matters about you. Examine you. And you know what you'll get out of it? You'll get out of it what you put into it. I've met some of the most wonderful Christian people that God filled their lives, but every one of them put something into it. Question, church, how much are you really putting into this? How much are you really putting into this? Because he which soweth sparingly will reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully.